Maybe something off the plate.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Soon-to-be President Obama may have one less thing to worry about. This morning, Chrysler shored up its chances of survival. The Detroit carmaker signed an agreement with the Italian car company Fiat. The deal gives Fiat a stake in Chrysler. Ashley Milne-Tite is covering the story.
Fiat is taking a 35% stake in Chrysler, but it's not injecting cash into the Detroit carmaker. A statement from Chrysler's owner, Cerberus Capital Management, says there are no plans for future funding either. Instead, Fiat will pay to revamp some Chrysler facilities so the companies can share platforms and technologies. Birmingham Business School professor David Bailey says even though Chrysler got a loan from the U.S. government, it needed some extra support to survive. He says the U.S. automaker has to downsize and make cars that are cheaper to run.
Now, Fiat may actually provide an opportunity to produce cars which will appeal to American customers in the sense that they are smaller and much more economical.
Fiat had been looking for an American partner for a few months. The Italian company is keen to bring brands like the Alfa Romeo back to the U.S. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
By the way, Daimler still has a 20% stake in Chrysler, and the German company says it would love to sell that stake. It's welcome to any offers. There's word of more job cuts at Bank of America. The Financial Times says B of A is looking to get rid of up to 4,000 positions in its capital markets unit. We knew this was coming as part of B of A's consolidation with Merrill Lynch. Wall Street just opened for the week lower. So far, the Dow is down 126 points to 8,154. It's about 1.5%. The NASDAQ is down 2%, 31 points. And the S&P 500 also down 2%, 18 points. In Asia, the markets closed lower by almost 3%. European shares are mixed so far. But everyone's attention is on Washington today, not Wall Street. The recession has certainly hit the nation's capital, but not nearly as hard as some other places. Ronnie Radbill explains.
During times of crisis, Washington tends to prosper. From the Civil War to today's recession, the region's economy typically gets a boost from increased government spending. Steve Fuller is director of George Mason University's Center for Regional Analysis.
Federal government isn't cyclical. It may not spend a lot of money when things are going well, but wars, recessions, crises of various nature, it spends money.
And much of that money falls to local contractors who carry out government work. D.C. is also a magnet for special interests who spend millions on lobbying firms to press their agendas. Pete Metzger helps staff those firms at D.C.-based recruiting agency CT Partners.
People who have government relations outposts here are trying to position themselves in front of the new Democratic leadership.
D.C.'s unemployment rate is 4.4%, one of the lowest in the country. But the region is not immune to hardship. Retailers are struggling, businesses have closed, and homes are in foreclosure. Still, as long as the federal government's in town, the local economy appears to be insulated from the worst of the country's troubles. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work. And by Medtronic Foundation, now looking for runners benefiting from medical technology to participate in Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon events. Application at medtronic.com/globalheroes.
We have a pretty good idea what Barack Obama wants to do once he becomes President Obama. And he said he wants bipartisan support for his economic plans. So let's hear from a more conservative viewpoint on fixing the economy. We're joined by Kevin Hassett. He's director of economic policy studies at the American Enterprise Institute. Okay, Kevin, what do you think Obama's number one priority should be?
I think the top priority is to be much more clear about what economic policy is going to look like than President Bush has been. Treasury has been running this TARP program and been doing it kind of under a cloak of secrecy. I think that that uncertainty or the uncertainty created by that has discouraged market participants from jumping in and throwing their own capital in there. Mm-hmm. It would be crazy, for example, to invest in a bank right now because you don't know if the Treasury is going to get in front of you List the things that you think are the core principles of your policy and then stick to them.
Well, what's at the top of your list?
I think that it's very important for Congress to keep money in reserve. And I think that it's very important that, Congress or Treasury be careful not to fritter away the TARP funds. You know, the temptation will be to go out and put out a little fire every day, and then we'll wake up a couple months from now and we won't have any money left. I think it's important for the TARP monies to be a backstop so that if things start to go wrong again, then we're ready to move quickly.
And Kevin, as far as the stimulus package goes, what do you think about the way it's shaping up?
I think that stimulus is necessary right now, but it needs to be tied again with clarity about what the long-run strategy is going to be. If we go out and we build bridges and buy fighter planes and, you know, mail people checks and so on, and at the same time signal that we're serious about returning to normal when the economy does, then it's likely that the stimulus can be quite effective. Now, getting a check in the mail that's financed by money we borrowed from the Chinese is not really cause for optimism.
But Kevin, you're a conservative. I thought you liked tax cuts.
Oh, I do like tax cuts, and you'll notice the nuance of my language. I said there must be ways to get more revenue. I think that if we cut the corporate tax, it's likely you'd get more revenue, and we don't get a lot of revenue relative to GDP in the U.S. We have about the highest corporate tax, so it's not necessarily the tax rate that has to go up, but you know, absolutely you have to be willing to lift some rates and to change things around right now, because look, if you reverse the Bush tax cuts, you're probably going to reduce the long-run deficit by, about 10% or something right now, as big as the deficit is.
Kevin Hassid is Director of Economic Policy Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks. It's been great to be here.
Share your opinions with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The Obama inauguration.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.